Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Overnight America with Ryan Recker. I'm Gary Nolan sitting in for Ryan Recker. If you just tuned in, let me tell you what we've been chatting about. A student at K-State said he found a note on his door. It said, beware, and then it's the N-word, plural, the N-words, lives here, knock at your own risk. And then he tweeted out the following. It's 2018, and this was posted on my apartment door. This is still happening here at K-State. So if isn't as evident as it already was, everyone needs to get out and vote. I refuse to let this blatant racism stop me from moving onward and upward. The problem is, the kid wrote it himself. He's the one who wrote it. Now, just last year, same university, K-State, somebody's car was vandalized. And it had all kinds of racist graffiti on it. And guess who wrote all of the racist graffiti? The owner of the car. It happened in Columbia at Mizzou. It happened in Boston. I've seen this happen several times. So I have really two questions out there. First question is, what do these people expect to gain from this? What is the point? You do something like this, you want something in return. Is it adulation? Is it attaboy, pat on the back? Is it, wow, look at the racism out there? Is it, what is it exactly that these people are looking for? And the second question, and this is for our friends on the political left, because I live in a bubble. I may be missing stories where people on the right are doing this. I've got friends of mine who are black. Boy, does that sound like a trite line, but I do. Kevin Jackson, among others, and they never write notes like that on their door. They never do these things. So for my liberal friends, I want to know if you have some stories of conservatives doing this. And I'm serious, because I want to be, you know, fair here. I may be missing these because I live in a bubble. But the other question is, why? What's to be gained? Why would you do this? Telephone numbers to chat here are 314-436-7900 and toll free 800-925-1120. If you've got an answer for either of those questions, I'd love to hear it. Greg, welcome. Glad to have you on Overnight America. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well, and since no one has said it, I want to say about Overnight America, welcome Mr. Gary Nolan. I am a caller to Mr. Ryan Recker, and I've been listening to you tonight, and I think part of the things that these people are doing is because some people just don't like good people, and to answer your question, some people want to create a fire, and then if there is a small little flame, some people like to stoke the fire. They just don't get life.
But what is the point? What do you get from that? What are they getting from that? Why? They're not getting any money. They're not being held in high esteem because they didn't do anything. They just found a note on their door. If it were true, what do you think they're expecting out of this?
Well, now, I'm subjective. It's my opinion. But I truly believe there are just some people in this life like to hate, like to dislike. They don't want anybody to enjoy because something is lacking in their life. And they're trying to fill that void. And sometimes they do the wrong thing.
All right. Greg, thank you for the call.
Take care.
Glad to have you on Overnight America. Pat is on the line with a question. He says, How do we know he's a liberal? Is that your question?
Yeah, that's
well,
right.
I get this from the tone about the election. If you heard what he said about the election, this is what...
Just because he wants people that are like-minded to come out and vote if they're against racism doesn't necessarily make them liberal. That's making an assumption that only conservative people are racist.
Well, I think that's an assumption that a lot of liberals believe.
I don't agree with that. I don't think racism is tied to just liberals or conservatives. I think somebody could be either one of those persuasions and be racist.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that most people on the left think that conservatives are racists.
I don't think they believe that all conservatives are racist. I think that if somebody espouses those views, then they're going to put a label there, yes. I think this gentleman was just trying to rile up his base, like-minded thinking people, to get them to go out to vote. And if you want an example of that, all you got to look is to the president. He riles up the base all the time.
You know, he does. He does. And, I got to tell you, when he talks, I just cringe. I cringe. I don't care. When I read his tweets, I cringe.
And don't take it to think that I believe what they're doing when they make up these false stories that it's in any way right. I just think that they're doing it to bring attention to what they see as racism. But I don't see it as a liberal or a conservative thing.
I would be willing to lay odds. I would be willing to lay odds that it's that these are liberals.
Yeah. Without any, that's why I was glad when you read what he actually put in his tweet, because I was curious, okay, what else did he do to label himself as liberal or from the left? And I don't know that tweet went far enough. Now, I guess if he was questioned, you may have other facts or factors that lead to that. How did he get caught? I didn't catch that part.
They interrogated him and he cracked. He cracked. If you wanted to motivate people to go out and vote, you wouldn't have to put a racist note on your door. He's made himself a victim, and for no good reason. And it could potentially have gotten way out of hand. Now, fortunately, they cracked him, and he told the truth, but just think if it had led to riots or something like that, and people would have gotten killed.
And that would have been really a bad thing, absolutely. And the shame of these instances that you're pointing out is it probably diminishes people's belief of a true racist incident.
Yeah, when something that really is racist comes along, it's like the boy who cried wolf.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, Pat, thank you for the call. Okay. Glad to have you on KMOX. All right, we've got a couple more things here that I want to cover before we run too far out of time. So I'll tell you what, I've got to do this. This story just irritated the hell out of me, and it has to do with a Fox News commentator, and it's just so bizarre. Also, the national debt. I've been harping about the national debt. Great piece in the Wall Street Journal that kind of puts it all in perspective. So we'll talk about Tucker Carlson and the national debt also next. You're listening to the news to News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Local reporters to cover local stories. News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Hey, it's Overnight America with Ryan Recker. I'm Gary Nolan sitting in for Ryan Recker. I've been on this program guest hosting in the past, and I talked about the national debt and that it is really getting problematic. $22 trillion is never going to get paid. It's just too much debt. We just can't keep doing it. But there is an interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal about the national debt and the interest rate. Now, you understand that while President Trump has cut taxes, which is good for the economy, and he's deregulated, which is also good for the economy, things are starting to heat up. And when they heat up, what does the Federal Reserve want to do? They'll raise interest. They're afraid of inflation. They want to keep it under control. Well, that affects the national debt just as much as it does your credit card bill. So the federal government, and I want you to think about this, because we're what, in November of 2018. It's almost 2019. So you could say in about a year, this starts to kick in. The federal government will spend more on interest than it spends on Medicaid in 2020. Think about that, because we're essentially 2019. Next year, the federal government will spend more on interest than they spend on Medicaid. In 2023, they will spend more on interest than national defense. Now, that should terrify you, and let me tell you why. There are three main drivers of debt. They are Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, those social programs. Well, actually, if I combine them all, I'll just say social programs and the military. Two main drivers of debt. The interest is going to cost more than we spend on national defense. That should be terrifying to us. Then by 2025, we'll be spending more money on interest than on all non-defense discretionary programs combined. That might include, among other things, funding for national parks, scientific research, healthcare, education, the court system. This is all according to the Congressional Budget Office. The U.S. economy generates about $21 trillion in annual activity. Debt owed to the public comes in at about $15.5 trillion. When you add in intergovernment debt, which you should, according to Reason Magazine, because it represents actual commitments to pay, the figure is about $21 trillion. That's right about the time when economies start to collapse for good. Now, I told you what the main drivers of debt are: Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and national defense. In just a few years, we're not talking about a decade from now, we're not talking about 20 years from now, we're talking about in just a few years, just the interest on the debt is going to be greater than all of those. So we have to make some tough decisions. If we want to save this republic for our children, if we want them to have an opportunity to grow and be prosperous, we've got to make some cuts. My question to you is, where are you willing to see them make cuts? I mean, this is from the Congressional Budget Office. It's a reprint from the Wall Street Journal. And it is explicit. About a year from now, we will spend more on the interest on the national debt than we do on Medicaid. If you go just a couple of years beyond that, 2023, more money on than we spend on national defense. This is just it's not even principal, it's interest. And by 2025, roughly 6 years from now, we will spend annually on interest more money than we spend on all non-defense discretionary programs combined. So we got to make some cuts. What are you willing to see get cut? Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, food stamps, national defense? Where would you feel comfortable seeing the government cut back? 314-436-7900 or toll free 800-925-1120. What if they cut back on Social Security? How would you feel if they did that? Didn't quite give you as much as they had originally promised. And did that to save the national debt? What if they made Medicare more expensive or even cut out Medicaid entirely? What if they stopped food stamps and SNAP and all of those programs? Where are you willing to cut? What are you willing to give up to save the republic? Those numbers that I gave you, they are real. This isn't, you know, some pie in the sky, you know, made up to scare you. Those are real numbers. I've been screaming about this for years, that we're going to be coming to this moment. Well, the moment is upon us. And somewhere along the line, we're going to have to make some cuts. And I'm going to tell you right now, politicians do not lead. They will not lead on this. They don't want to be the one to give you the bad news. We're going to have to tell them what they can do and what we will expect or what we will accept. So what do you think we should cut? Should we cut Social Security? It's one of the main drivers of the debt. For those of you who don't understand, for years, Social Security took in way more money than it sent to recipients. We're talking trillions of dollars. But they had no place to store it, so they put it in the Treasury and they spent it. And now the Treasury is paying Social Security back. And eventually that money will go. As baby boomers age, that money will disappear more quickly. Where do we cut? Let's do this. 314-436-7900. Toll free 800-925-1120. Al, welcome. Glad to have you on Overnight America. What would you be willing to cut?
How are you, man? Big Al. Wrecker, you better not stay out too long because this guy is really good.
Well, thank you. But
welcome aboard. I'm going to, first off, faithful Wall Street Journal subscriber. And I can solve it without any cuts. And they've dropped this before, and this is not my original idea. But we're tied to a 30-year note. Our debt's tied to a 30-year treasury. So here's what we do. And China's not the way to go because it's failing miserably. So U.S., we're the only game in town, truthfully. That's why the dollar is on us. So we call them all in, refinance into a 100-year note, and spread it out. That's the only way we can do it. Because if you start cutting everything you're talking about, you think it's bad now, a climate, start taking food and everything else away. So everything that we owe out there, call it in on a 30-year. But say, okay, all those notes.
And who's going to finance? Who's going to buy that paper? Who's going to buy that 100-year note?
We're the only game in town. Everybody buys our junk. China buys it. Everybody's buying it still.
Nobody's going to buy a 100-year note.
Well, here's the deal. If we call them all in, because we're the only game in town, so we call it all in and say, all right, you got basically 6 months. Turn your notes in. We're going to give you 100-year. We're going to give you an attractive interest rate.
Wait a minute. So wait. I want to make sure I understand this. Somebody, China, Japan, all these people have part of our debt. Citizens, American citizens,
IOUs.
Own the debt. And we bought this treasury note. We were promised a certain return in interest.
Right.
And you're saying, forget that contract. If you want any money for that note, you got to turn it in right now.
Because your people are smart as my people are, and look at my bottom line, and you know we can't sustain this. So either you default or turn them in and trust us to get it in order in 70 more years.
Yeah, I don't see China and Japan and all these other countries doing that.
Let the United States default. Because eventually we will have to, because we're not going to cut. You know it and I know it. So eventually we got two decisions to make. Either default or call them in and say, you know what, I know you're whining and crying, but by the way, if you pay all the money back you owe us, we'd be in good shape, but... Anyway, so here's the deal. You got that 30-year note, give it to me, you're getting a 100-year note. Or a 50, or whatever. It doesn't have to be
the other problem, and don't get me wrong, I think it's an out-of-the-box solution, but the other problem, in addition to what I just pointed out, is that we will continue to accrue debt, making it difficult eventually to pay either note.
In order. if we get our house in order, because, I mean, if we push the world to a brink of default, don't you think these idiots eventually will understand it?
Well, Al, to get our house in order, we're going to still have to make cuts in these social programs or in the military. That's the only, because we run a deficit every year.
We did that with military, Carter and Obama, and I'm in the defense business, and we got planes on carriers right now that we're stripping parts for to keep the other ones in the air. So here's what I'm going to tell you. If you want to defend this country, you better defend it. Social programs, there's a lot of waste, but here's what we got to do. We can't keep going. There's no way we could cut to get us out of this debt. You know it and I know it. So if we
we could cut, but it would be horrible. You'd have to get the government out of Social Security. You'd have to end Medicaid. You'd have to privatize Medicare. You'd have to bring the military home and quit being the world's police department. You'd have to quit sending money to the United Nations and to NATO and let them defend themselves for a change. And then you might be able to stave it off. But and I talked about this the last time I guest hosted on the program. At $1 million a day, it would take us 40,000 years to pay off the debt.
Right. And the Democrats are wanting to give everybody Medicaid.
Yeah, they do.
All right.
They do like to give money away, don't
Here's
they?
The deal. We got two options, world. We default, and we're all broke. Or two, turn them in, we'll give you a 100-year note, and give us a little more time. Otherwise, go get the yuan and whatever else you want to jump on that currency, the euro, yeah, okay. And, hey, one more thing, and I'll let you go. For sale, French Army rifles, only drop once.
Yes.
Night.
and tanks with backup lights. All right. Thank you, Al. Glad to have you on Overnight America. Yeah, the problem that you've got here, of course, is that they're not going to buy a 100-year note. It's just not going to happen. And even if they did, we'd just continue to escalate our debt until we were again in trouble. So we have to make some cuts. And the question is, what are you willing to cut? All right, we're going to find out what you think. We'll take your calls. I'd love to hear from you. 314-436-7900, toll free, 800-925-1120. You're listening to the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Keeping you up and making you think. This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
But Ryan is off tonight, and I'm sitting in for him. My name is Gary Nolan. Telephone number here, 314-436-7900. The toll-free is 800-925-1120. If you just turned your radio on, just hopped in the car, whatever, we were talking about the national debt. Wall Street Journal points out that by 2025, we'll be spending more money on the interest than we are on all the discretionary spending. It's more than the military. It's just going to break us. And I was asking, what are you willing to give up to save the republic? What are you willing to give up, Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid? Or do we just ride this thing out until we go bankrupt? Eventually, we will not be the reserve currency for the world. The money gets worth less and less the further in debt we go. So what are you willing to give up? All those wonderful social programs, the bill's coming in. It's coming home. Also, very quickly, and I don't need to dwell on this, but we were talking earlier about stadiums and government incentivizing businesses. We talked about public transportation. Turns out that New York is going to get this new Amazon headquarters. And I have to tell you, I think it's good that New York is getting it. Because the state has to kick in $1.5 billion. To get this thing underway. $1.5 billion. New York taxpayers will pay $48,000 for every Amazon job at that new headquarters. Whew, could have been us. Lucky break. It's just such a bad deal when the government starts buying into private business. It should never, ever happen. That they gamble your tax dollars on some business venture. It's just not fair. Annette, welcome. Glad to have you on Overnight America. How are you?
Pretty good, thank you. And I just have a brief comment. The Constitution only permits two types of government expenditures, and that is national defense and interstate commerce. Everything else is outside the Constitution.
You're exactly right. The Doctrine of Enumerated Powers makes clear the tasks the federal government should undertake. And that's mint coin, post roads, raise a navy, those kinds of things. They're not supposed to be doing welfare, and they're not supposed to be doing Social Security. And they're way out of their league doing these things.
Yes, and even with regard to health care, many people don't know it, but the only country that did it right was Germany under Hitler. That country prospered so much that the leaders, both of Britain and the United States, went to Germany and asked Hitler, they said, how did you do it? In 3 years, Hitler brought Germany from utter despair and bankruptcy in 3 years to a level of comfort.
All right, well,
and then another 3 years, and they were extremely prosperous.
Well, first, I rarely think of Hitler in anything but the worst possible light. Secondly, when you get labor for free, i.e. slave labor from the Jewish population, it makes it easier to turn the corner. Also, they quit paying their debt, which was the debt they acquired at the end of World War I, which was, by the way, somewhat unfair. I mean, there are a couple of reasons why he was able to make it look successful. But he was a cretin, and I despise him.
Well, the Germans didn't think so, and they lived through it.
Yeah, I'm sure, but a lot of the Jews in Germany did think he was pretty bad.
Well, this persecution and of Jewry is one of the biggest lies
around.
Oh,
please, don't even start.
Well, look.
Don't tell me that Adolf Hitler and the Nazi regime didn't kill millions of Jews. They did.
Well, they didn't, but...
All right, please go away, Annette, because I'm going to get very angry. I'm going to get very angry. Absolutely. Adolf Hitler was a low-down, dirty SOB, and he killed innocent men, women, and children. He executed Jews all over Europe. There is no question about it. No doubt about it. And as for his economy, as I pointed out, using slave labor makes things hum along just a little bit easier for everybody but the slaves who are laboring. I'm not going there. All right, you're listening to News Radio 1120. It is KMOX.
Local reporters to cover local news. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather.
Hey, it's Overnight America with Ryan Recker, except it's not with Ryan Recker tonight. Tonight it's with Gary Nolan. Glad to have you with us. Glad to be with you. With the last caller, Annette, I mean, she started off on such solid ground on understanding the Constitution, and then she got to Adolf Hitler, and it just all went to poop. I was like, no, you can't possibly think this guy was anything but the cretin that he was. He was a despot. Oh, no. All right, coming up, we'll chat a little bit about flying. What do you dislike most about flying? We'll also talk about this CNN reporter, who is Jim Acosta, who is now suing the President of the United States. I'm assuming that most of you, if you listen to talk radio, you're probably aware of what's going on in the zeitgeist. And you are probably aware that Jim Acosta, in a press conference, kept trying to ask the president question after question, trying to debate him, really. And the president said, no more. We're moving on. And this White House intern went to get the microphone from him, and he kind of flicked her away. He pushed her arm away. It wasn't violent, like he was going to leave a bruise or anything, but it was more like, you know, go away, kid. You bother me. So the White House got upset about this, And they took his credentials. Now, Acosta's credentials. Now, this doesn't mean that Acosta can't ask the president questions. He's just not going to get on the White House grounds. I think they call it the hard card. It's his credentials to get into the building. So CNN has decided to sue the president of the United States because Jim Acosta has been banned. And what they're arguing is that it's somehow affecting freedom of speech. It's interrupting the flow of information. But there are a couple of problems with that, not the least of which is that CNN has other accredited reporters who could still get on the White House grounds, can still get into the press conference, and still ask questions. It's just Jim Acosta who can't get on. It also doesn't mean that Acosta can't ask the president questions. He can. He just can't do it at the press conference in the White House. If he happens to see him somewhere else and he gets close, fine. Or emails, that's fine. He can ask. But it's ridiculous to think that he can compel the president to answer him. The president could, even before this blew up, the president could simply have ignored him. The president's not compelled to answer questions. He does it of his own volition. And Acosta doesn't have a constitutional right to be physically present when they're having their press conferences. It's not there. And by the way, they've got a feed outside. He can watch what's going on in the press conference. And then he can make his own commentary. Now, the mainstream media are defending Acosta. They're saying this is just wrong on so many levels and blah, blah, blah. Let me just tell you that Acosta is not well regarded by the other members of the press corps. They want to ask the president questions too. And when he starts hogging up all the time, when he, you know, gets into a debate with the president because he wants to one-up him, they don't have time to ask their questions. But they have such Trump derangement syndrome. They're so angry that Trump is the president that they're willing to overlook that anger. They're willing to overlook their distaste for Acosta because they hate Trump even more. We were talking earlier in the program about President Trump, and I admitted that when he talks, when he tweets, I usually cringe. It's cringeworthy. I know a lot of you love his tweets. I know that a lot of you think it's great that he's so outspoken. But Melania should tape his fingers together at night so he can't tweet. How do I say this? Look, if you step back and ask and ask yourself, how does the country look? I mean, the real barometer is, how does the country look now that he's been in office for a year and a half, coming up on 2 years? And I would argue it looks pretty damn good. I would argue that he has stimulated the economy by letting people keep the money they've earned. He has deregulated, making it easier for entrepreneurs and businesses to turn a profit. He's been willing to meet and talk, at least, with despots and bad guys. I have no problem with that. I don't think it's going to work in North Korea, but at least he, you know, took the time to go over and talk to Kim Jong-un. So if I take stock of where the country is at, my biggest complaint is the national debt, because he's blowing that right out the window. And when he tweets and starts answering questions, it makes me cringe. It's like, oh, geez, did he say that? Oh, no. But overall, he hadn't done a bad job. Overall, he's frankly done pretty well. Now, he's wrong. It is not the best economy we've ever had. But I'm beginning to think of Trump's tweets and comments as just entertainment. But I try not to take them seriously. I just look at what he's done. I'm a happy camper. But he has done well. He's cut tons of regulations. I know the Democrats seem to think that that the tax cuts didn't reach the middle class, but they did in a variety of ways. For instance, utility companies cut their rates all across the country as a result of not having to pay a corporate tax rate that was, you know, driving them to keep their rates up. So in some way or another, just about all of us got some benefit from those tax cuts. 314-436-7900. Toll free 800-925-1120. Tom, welcome. Glad to have you on Overnight America.
Thank you. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing well, thank you.
Good. I enjoy your show. I was just calling to say that I'd come up to Missouri for the deer season and was successful, and I was I'm driving back home to Florida, and I'm just outside of Tallahassee, and I've been listening to 1120 all the way and have not lost reception at all. And it's just been interesting to listen to all the different shows that have been on, and they've really been entertaining, and it's been kind of interesting to not lose connection to you guys.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. It is a powerful signal, and it's great. My question is, how'd you do? What'd you get?
Well, I got myself a nice buck out of the Donahue Farm in St. Genevieve, and that's a great place to go. It's very beautiful country, I'll tell you. Missouri's a beautiful state.
Now, how are you transporting this thing? I mean, that's a long way to keep it.
Gentleman that I've known for 50 years is very handy with the knife and knows how to take care of the meat, get it all off the bone, and grind it, make it into hamburger, and cut out the steaks and make the roasts and put it all together, put it in a cooler and get some dry ice, and away I go, and I'm down the road. I shot him at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and I'm on my way. I'm already back to just outside of Tallahassee.
How long will that last, Tom?
48 hours.
Probably. No. I mean, how long will you be eating that?
Wife and I, it'll probably be 4 or 5 months worth of meat out of that.
I got a friend of mine that invited me to go out with his father-in-law, and I'm thinking I'd like to do it, but I don't have a deep freeze. But I'm betting that would save a ton of money.
Oh, it really does. And it's so fresh. You know, it's just when you see it, it's amazing because it just doesn't have any fat in it. Just red meat.
Don't you throw a little fat from something else in there just to kind of?
Well, you can if you don't like the wildest taste, then you could put a little pork or beef in it when you're making the burger meat or when you want to make spaghetti or chili, that kind of thing. But the backstrap is really what's really good. It's like filet mignon. You know, it's just so wonderful. Really,
you know, it's coming up on midnight, and you're making me hungry. I really think that's unfair. Hey, Tom, drive carefully, okay?
Will do so.
All right. Thank you for listening. We're glad to have you on KMOX. Wow. I really, really need to get a freezer. I think the money I would save if I went out and got a deer would pay for itself just in food I wouldn't have to buy for a year. For a while there, I wouldn't do it. I thought, you know what? It's just silly to go out and kill an animal because I can go to the grocery store, go to the meat section, and buy all I want. And, you know, what's the point in going out and shooting a deer? But it thins the herd. It protects it from overpopulation and provides me with food for a year. I like that. Tucker Carlson story coming up next on KMOX.
Such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.